Hi, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of Naval Gazing. It's our Storm edition. My name is Eugene Driscoll. I'm a reporter with ValleyIndy.org. Okay, according to Eversource, 97% of Seymour is still without power. Something like 83% of Oxford is still without power. There are some parts of Seymour that came back online Wednesday evening. As I record this, it's 9:15 p.m. By the way, we're going to have an interview with Tim Willis in the second half of this podcast. He's the Seymour Deputy Fire Marshal. He's going to go over the day's events. Anyway, so it's no school in Seymour on Thursday, no school in Oxford on Thursday. Derby Public Schools is operating at a two-hour delay, according to an email I received at 8:15 p.m. from Derby School Superintendent Matthew Conway. Let me read that email to you. Conway says, "After much consideration and thought, at this time, we will be notifying families we plan to open on a two-hour delay schedule. This will give us time in the morning to reassess the roads and bus stops with a hope the power company is able to remove down wires overnight. At this time, we have several roads inaccessible to buses and 16 bus stops impacted." So what that says to me, he's planning to do a two-hour delay Thursday morning, but parents and families, make sure you monitor WTNH or whatever website or your texts or the radio, wherever you get your school info from. Get up early and monitor that, because that two-hour delay could change. Very unpredictable. I know Derby does not have nearly the damage as Oxford and Seymour, but nevertheless, there are some roads closed, including Hawthorne Avenue, in the area of high school, middle school. So make sure you monitor that situation in the morning. Elsewhere, let's play this evening's Code Red message from the town of Seymour. But maybe I'll cut to the chase and give you some of the info. Basically, the town of Seymour says, yeah, parts are coming back on, but we got transmission lines down still. We got, according to Kurt Miller earlier today on Wednesday, he said we have three of the five electrical substations in town damaged by this crazy storm that rolled through here Tuesday evening. So that's why it could be a while for Seymour and Oxford. Could be a couple of days, potentially. So people should brace for it. You know, I know we keep saying prepare for it, but it's already happening. You just got to expect it and hang in there. I've been impressed by the way people, especially in Seymour, have been using social media. There's like a community group where people are just sharing information where you can get a shower, where you can get a meal, that type of stuff. It's really nice to see. Staying in Seymour, and then I'll play the Code Red message in its entirety. It's pretty quick. Seymour Middle School, according to the town of Seymour, will be open Thursday. That's at 211 Mountain Avenue, and essentially it's what they call a bathing / charging station. If you got some small electronics you want to plug in, laptop, cell phone, that type of stuff, I assume you can do that at the Seymour Middle School, 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. Thursday. Or I assume they have showers of some kind. You can wash off if need be, according to Seymour. Additionally, the Valley YMCA in Ansonia has opened their facilities to the public for bathing and charging, according to this Code Red message I'll play for you. The Valley YMCA is at 12 State Street. That's in downtown Ansonia, up the hill there. The phone number is 203-736-9622. Again, it's 203-736-9622. Before I get into the Code Red message that was sent out about 8 p.m. from the town of Seymour, Oxford. Let's talk about Oxford real quick. Quaker Farm School at 30 Great Oak Road will be open from 6 a.m. until 10 p.m. Thursday as an emergency shelter. But it's not where people are sleeping. It's more of a bathing / charging station, according to First Selectman George Temple. Quote, "The shelter will provide showers, light refreshments, water, and phone charging," Temple said. So that is that. Let's listen to the Code Red message from the town of Seymour. And then that's going to go right into an interview I did fairly quickly with Seymour Deputy Fire Marshal Tim Willis. Thanks.
This is the Office of the First Selectman with a storm update utilizing the Code Red system. Power is currently being restored to small portions of town where possible, and additional crews are being brought in from out of state. Unfortunately, transmission lines and substations were taken down by the storm and are responsible for a majority of outages in Seymour. Eversource is working on these large-scale issues first to ensure the largest amount of customers is restored as quickly as possible. We should have a more accurate estimate tomorrow for power restoration, but current estimates are that it may be several days for large portions of town. Accordingly, we will be opening Seymour Middle School for charging electronics and bathing from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. tomorrow. Additionally, the Valley YMCA in Ansonia has opened their facilities to the public for bathing and charging. We appreciate everyone's patience thus far and ask for your continued patience as we work through this together. We will have another update for you tomorrow. Stay safe.
So joining me on the line is Tim Willis, the deputy fire marshal from the town of Seymour. We're recording this about 8 p.m. Wednesday, May 16th, a little over 24 hours since a serious storm rolled through the Naugatuck Valley, hitting Oxford and Seymour particularly hard. Tim, I know we talked this morning. I want to thank you again for taking the time to chat with me.
Not a problem. I'm glad I'm actually able to talk with you now, and it seems to have slowed down a little bit where I have some free time.
Yeah, so what's been the fire department routine, I guess, so far today? It sounded like I left you about 10 a.m. Wednesday. I talked to you and the first selectman. You had responded, the fire department had responded to a structure fire earlier today. And then it seemed in the afternoon you had a ton of calls, it sounded like. Can you put into English better than I can, describe what the afternoon was like?
Probably not, but I'll give it the college try. We were running around, not nearly as crazy, obviously, yesterday. We did have some activated fire alarms. I don't believe there were any wires down calls this afternoon, and I may have missed one, just with everything going on. But the fire department is status quo. We have not necessarily crews standing by, but we're trying to rotate the right people in and, people who are available, and we're making sure that our volunteers are listening in a little closer than usual, just because, we got everything going on. And then what people on the outside sometimes forget is not only are these men and women responding to these calls, but they also live in Seymour, and I mean, they're going home to dark houses too. So, it's not just, running around fighting the fires and then going someplace nice. It's definitely, they're part of the community and they're experiencing it just as much as everyone else.
And what did you hit this afternoon? Do you have car accidents or just trees on wires still? What was happening?
I believe there were still some trees on wires calls. We're also, EMS has been, EMS has been running out as well to check on, residents with health issues, that not having power is kind of compromising their situations. We did have some fire alarms, and one of the problems we start seeing at this point is the battery backups on fire alarm systems start to go, and they start sending signals to the dispatch centers that there's fire alarms. So a lot of times we're chasing malfunctions,
okay.
But we still have to obviously respond to make sure that there isn't a fire.
And then what's the mood of the people up there in Seymour? I mean, I know it's only been, 28 hours since the power went down. We had talked to an Eversource or emailed an Eversource representative earlier today, and Seymour Police Department put out some messages, and the first selectman himself had said, expect power to be gone for, at least a day, maybe a few days possibly. I know it's still up in the air, but how are people holding up?
I mean, I certainly think there's a frustration on everyone's end, including first responders. I mean, don't get me wrong, in a perfect world, we all want the power to be back on instantly. I can tell you that Eversource is, they have their liaison with us in Seymour working with us. They're kind of the go-between to make sure that our calls are going to the right places and the right communication is getting sent to their personnel, who are then sending the crews out. I can tell you, and I've been listening to our police scanner, I'm actually out of the office right now. I'm actually home, but I can tell you that I'm hearing that the crews are out there and they're making progress. The big goal today was to start getting everything opened, so we can start really assessing what's going on and getting access to areas. There were a few roads earlier in today that have since opened up, I'm not sure if they have all opened up since, but we had a couple points where there was no way to get in and out. It's one thing when a road is blocked and it's inconvenient for everyone, but it's certainly a totally different situation when you have a road that is blocked on both ends or there's no way to get into a specific location. Not only is that frustrating for the people who live there, but that's frustrating for emergency services who can't get in there quickly if there is an emergency. So I know Eversource has been working diligently to get those areas open back up, at least so we can get access, even if there's not power.
And do you know, what are some examples? What were some roads in town that were completely shut due to the storm?
I have to apologize off the top of my head. I don't know, and I don't want to speak out of term. I do know that Lakeview, I believe it's Lakeview Ave, had a telephone pole that was blocking the road, and that's a dead-end road. So it was an issue earlier on, but I believe that has since been rectified. I'm sure if I'm wrong, someone will hear me and call me out for it. But I believe I was told that that road has been opened back up.
And then in terms of, just to sort of wrap up, there have been no injuries reported. Nothing like that has happened in Seymour thus far.
Not that I am aware of. Again, I hate to say it, although we're monitoring things, sometimes when we're in the operations center, we're not monitoring every single call at that level. There's troops on the ground that are taking care of that. But I have not heard of any talk of calls where we've had any injuries directly related to this.
And the operations center, that is at the Seymour Police Department?
Correct. It's operating at the Seymour Police Department, and we have management personnel from many different first responding agencies. There's representatives from Board of Education, the Duck Valley Health District sends representatives. So we're in a room hopefully getting the answers to each other and coming up with plans and implementing things. That sounds really important. A lot of times it's two or three people sitting around saying, what's next and how do we address this? But it is definitely an important piece of the puzzle.
And so what happens overnight? It's 8 p.m. as I talk to you. Does this group still get together overnight, or how does that work?
I can tell you that we are meeting twice a day. The next meeting is always determined at the current meeting. So we have another meeting tomorrow morning where we're going to see where we're at, and we do progress reports and checks and try to move everything forward.
All right, Tim Willis, those are all my questions, unless there's anything else you want to add or tell people.
Just, you know, stay safe. Don't run any generators inside of homes, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Eugene. You have a nice day.
Take care.